Going live.
Hey.
We're here. Hey. So we're doing it a little different this week. We've had to make this decision a little bit last minute, so we don't know if you guys are here live or not, but this week's episode is live. Hooray.
Hooray. I love that YouTube was like, it's your podcast anniversary.
It was Spotify told
Oh,
us that it's our
Spotify.
podcast anniversary, but it's not.
Yeah, how did that happen then?
I think
Isn't
we uploaded a trailer
it? Hmm.
on
That
this
makes
day
sense.
last year because I believe that we actually launched our first podcast episode on February 1st.
Yeah, that sounds right. It was a long time
Yeah.
ago.
It was a long time ago, but it's almost a year ago, and I can't believe it. We've been doing this a whole year. Hooray! It has gone
Hooray.
so well that we merged our businesses.
Yeah, just more of that. Just more adding things on.
Yeah.
I'm distracted because I'm trying to like get the chat up in case like YouTube is like there's a couple people waiting.
Oh, I have it. I have it
Okay.
open, and I don't see anyone in the live chat. Don't worry, no one's here.
Okay.
No, but I
No
should
one's
see
here.
it. I should see it if someone joins. But we did not do this because we thought y'all would be here. We just did this because we had to. I had some family emergency stuff and we couldn't record last week like we normally would. So here we are. But we're here to talk about the Athleisure collection. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get to that, Jen?
No. No.
No, I'm good.
It's funny because now that we're releasing these patterns and collections, it's kind of like it feels more like a marathon, right? Like we have plenty of time to talk about everybody who's in the collection and to just spend a lot of time with the patterns, but it does mean that so we already these are the second two patterns that we're releasing in this collection. Keeper and Marcia had their moment in the sun. But that kind of makes it feel a little bit like, oh, like I had to put this whole other child of mine in a closet for a month while I thought about my first child. So,
I
yeah.
know. I've really been waiting for it to be Breaker and Marie's turn because it's like we do all the planning for the collection all at the same time. We
Yeah.
do the photography all at the same time. We obviously don't knit them at the exact same time, but we're kind of knitting them at the same time. Well, you knit more than one thing at a time, right?
I do. Yeah. And I did. There was overlap on these for me. So I did knit them at the same time. I knit them back in August,
Yep.
long time ago.
I was finishing Marie in September. I feel like I knit Marie and I knit Marsha in August. Yeah. I usually knit one thing at a time, but lately I have some overlap, but it will be like I'm writing these two patterns at the same time or editing one and writing one. So I kind of like am back and forth depending on where I am in that process.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes I'm like, I can't knit that yet. I have to check those numbers. So I'm going to knit this instead.
Yeah.
But that's been
And
working well for me.
yeah. It's funny because both of us have purple-ish garments. Yours is a little bit more plummy, a little bit more violet. And mine is an icy lavender, but I feel like purple is one of those colors where it's either you're a purple girly or you're not a purple girly. And I don't think of myself as being a big purple person, but I feel like I have been reaching for it a little more recently.
Well, purple is having a big moment in fashion. It was on the runways a lot more this winter, and it'll probably be sticking around this spring as well. So, in case y'all didn't know that I tend to look at that kind of stuff, just to know, not that I necessarily care, I am a purple girly. I even had purple hair for a while. But I feel like I've really become a big lover of purple since I met Candace, because that's her favorite.
That makes sense. That's how I feel about pink and my kiddo. So I feel that.
Right. Yeah.
Both of these sweaters are also raglans, but they're put together very differently. Do you want to give us a little preview of Marie and tell us what makes her so fantastic? There's a lot.
Sure.
I think we have time for it all, though.
I'm wearing my Marie right now. I will say this is, in terms of like my actual wardrobe, this piece is the one that is, that fits the most into my wardrobe. I've been a ballet sweater girly my whole life because I used to do a lot of ballet. So I just think that as a garment, they're so versatile, you know? So I'm wearing her open right now, but I'm kind of wrapping her closed so you can see the neckline a little better. So this is a top-down seamless construction, which I did not realize that I love knitting cardigans specifically this way, but I really do. Something about doing the raglan increases and then separating the body and sleeves was very rewarding. So I feel like this is the garment where I kind of like got it with how much people love their top-down raglans.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This actually is really easy.
And Marie's a good candidate for it because she's mm-hmm. lighter weight and I use a non-superwash yarn, right? So it's got a little structure. Or is it superwash?
It's non, I believe it's non-superwash, but it's 50% silk. So yeah. It's a different kind of structure. You know, we talk about silk being like a super unstructured fiber, but it actually has its own way of making structure because it doesn't stretch like wool. It might stretch over time, but it does not have the like bouncy elasticity of wool. So in that way, I think silk can actually sometimes make things stay together a little better.
Yeah, and it depends on the silk fiber. Like some of those strands are really quite grippy. They are exactly. a protein fiber. Yeah.
Yeah. So silk is always interesting that way. But this is a high twist yarn. This is from the Knitted Wit, who are great. And a lot of times high twist yarns are not ideal for garments because they create a kind of like wrapping situation. But that actually means that if you have high twist fiber in your stash that you didn't know what to do with, this is a great garment for that because it wraps already. So if there is some bias, there's a little bit of bias in my garment. It may have blocked out. I didn't pin block this. Like I could have blocked it out entirely. It certainly wasn't like a crazy amount of bias or anything, but the bias actually contributes to the overall spiraling shape of a wrap. So all in all, the way the fiber came together with the shape and the construction worked super well. And my UX knitters have been having a great time with this pattern as well. And so I've seen a lot of samples, a lot of their work coming through, and it seems to be a pretty repeatable pattern. Sometimes, you know, certain yarns are harder to substitute, but people used all different fingering weight yarns and had a good amount of success. So this raglan is not, there's no at the same time shaping. So that can be like a little overwhelming because you're looking at line by line instructions, but all you have to do is follow the line. So there were not like as many random confusion mistakes as sometimes come through in a UX knit.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of these projects. I was at YarnCon in St. Louis last week and got to see Jessica's and it is so beautiful and fit her so well. And I know that she has some fun things planned for our photo shoot, so I'm not going to spoil that. But yeah, it's a beautiful wearable pattern and it looks so graceful on so many different bodies. Yeah, I think one of the things we wanted to do with this collection is tap into some different ways that you can feel in your knits. So, you know, we get a lot of cozy, you know, we get a lot of staples, right? But one of the things that we really wanted to tap into this collection was things like playful and energetic and fun. And in this garment, you know, you bring all that, but you've also really brought graceful and elegant to a casual wardrobe piece, which is, I think, something that's really unique to do in knitting.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking with this garment that like the athleisure collection in my mind is sort of like things to wear with your athleisure. So, I mean, that's more than that. I would say it's like an athleisure piece, but I guess that they are it's both. However, that's just how I was looking at it, right? Like, that's how I design, is like, what am I going to wear this with? And what I love about this garment is that when I pair a Marie with something like, right now I'm just wearing my like throw this on and take care of my family giant romper. I can wear Marie with my like leotard and leggings that are just my like getting through the day clothes.
Right.
And I don't feel like the, you know, the complex troll.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
It helps me to like elevate those everyday moments, those everyday outfits. And that's really what we were aiming for with this collection, because I feel like we all really deserve that in our wardrobe. We deserve to be comfortable and have the clothes that are like, this is how I'm just, you know, doing my life, getting through the days. It's not always glamour. It's not always date night. Right. And we still want to feel really good about how we look. And I feel like Breaker accomplishes that same thing. I'm really obsessed with Breaker.
Yeah. So I teach a wardrobe class, right? And in that class, people kind of come up with what they want to make and then go see if they can find it. And Breaker started with Rebecca's story. And so Rebecca was like, hey, I watch my grandkids every day. I'm up and down the floor a lot. So I really spend my day in like leggings and like workout pants. And but I still want to be able to wear my knits every day, and they don't go. Right. So that's Breaker's origin story. Cause I was like, I also spend all day in leggings and workout pants because I never really know how my day is going to shake out. I have physical therapy many days of the week. So, you know, I'm like, wait, that's, I need that. Let's make that. Let's make that. So what would be kind of a fun, playful thing, that could play nicely with those athleisure pieces in our wardrobe. But then also today I wanted to wear her with like a little, like,
yeah, you have fancy stuff on,
a little dressy dress. Yeah. Just to show that, you know, we've shown these garments in one way, but of course at the end of the day, every knitter is going to make their own, bring their own art to these pieces and make them special for themselves. So yeah.
Yeah, Breaker definitely has like a sporty vibe when you're wearing sneakers with that sweater. But the way you paired it with lace, I could totally see it being like really beautiful with a super femme dress layered underneath. Or, you know, I think it's a really versatile texture that lends itself to elegance as well as like a casual sporty feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus this is a garment, you know, we talk a lot of, oh, it is. So this is a project I did in collaboration with the Wandering Flock. And Geraldine is the kindest, sweetest person. And, sorry, I got distracted. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I'm easily distracted. So yeah, you know, there aren't a lot of times when I'll use superwash in a design, and this is a very standard superwash DK, base. But of course, Geraldine does beautiful, bright, vibrant colors over the Wandering Flock. And I don't often use superwash fibers, but this is a really good candidate for it, right? Like if we want something that we're going to move around in, we want something we're going to live our everyday life in, sometimes we do need fibers that can stand up to like accidentally going through the washer once or twice, right? Or, you know, need to be able to sustain a little life. And so this is I put this garment together to be a good candidate for using superwash in a garment across the whole size range, right? So it is seamed. So you're going to get that extra structure. I'm going to have you work some shaping in the neckline to give that neckline some extra structure. And it's not a huge garment, right? Like it's a cropped garment. And so it's not going to put a whole lot of weight on that garment. So we're not going to see some of those downsides of working with a more slippery yarn. But of course, knitters can make it their own. In the pattern, I do have instructions for adding length. I know that not everybody is as big of a fan of crops as I am. And it's a garment that's going to move around a lot. We talk a lot about fit and how to keep your garment moving around a lot. But, you know, something like this, like I wear it off the shoulder a lot. It's got a more generous fit. It's got a lot more play in it. So I wouldn't have the same expectations of something that's going to behave like an off the shoulder warm up top as I would like a more tailored knit. So, you know, this is a garment where I'm doing a lot of play, and we'll see what people think about it. It's a little bit different from my usual kind of standard classic traditional fit.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's very in line with, I always say, I think of like texture when I think of your designs. And yeah. So yeah, she fits in the overall aesthetic.
She's in the catalog.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. I feel like the texture that you use also helps make superwash work a little better than it would in like a stockinette. Do you feel like that's true?
I do too. I feel like anytime you're doing twisting or any kind of tension like that, you are introducing a little bit more structure to the fiber. It's not a twisted stitch, but going back and forth between knit and purl does feel more structured to me than a stockinette would.
It condenses the stitches a bit. In a way that like stockinette just will never. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
We're talking about these patterns. They'll be out next week.
I can't believe it's already going to be February next week.
It's illegal. Yeah.
It's what, Thursday, next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, I believe is the 1st of February, which is when these patterns are officially going to be live and available to download. Mm-hmm. You can pre-order the collection right now, in which case, if you already have, you'll get an update automatically. The collection's only available on our website, but the update will include all of the pattern files, as well as how you can download them from Rav, if that's what you'd prefer. But we've updated our website, and any pattern that you buy on our website now, if you use the email that's associated with your Ravelry account, the patterns will be added to your library there. So we're trying to make it easier for you to get all the info in one place and not have to click around and make a whole bunch of different purchases.
Hey, I think Jen. That only works for individuals. So that won't work for the collection. So the collection will have a download code.
Yeah, the collection will not automatically add to your library. It's only available through our website. But yeah, it does include a code, so you still can get them on your Rav.
Yeah. Hi, Jen. Jen says these sweaters look perfect for the shift into spring, too. Y'all, I'm so ready. It's so gloomy here. I think most of the U.S. has been mired in snow this week. You know, as designers, Like we're always working a little bit ahead, right? Because we're preparing things for the next season. So I feel like my mind has been in spring for a little bit already, but I haven't been allowing myself to like let the rest of my body feel excited for spring. But yes, we held these garments to be the second pieces in the collection because we want to see them play in our spring wardrobes. I definitely have some knits that I'll be pairing this with, like my sepal shawl. And I've been working on sewing some clothes for my wardrobe too, that that I expect this to go with.
Yeah, we still need to have the One Wild Designs Jen Teaches Best How to Sew retreat.
You know, I kind of want to do more with sewing. So, you know, we can talk about that for sure.
Well, then you're going to have to teach me how to sew.
Yes. One Wild entirely handmade wardrobe. My physical therapist told me the other day I looked like an anthropology model, which I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I think good. It feels cohesive. Yeah. I mean, there's worse.
You want to hear about how I feel about anthropology? This is just like the story of my life. When I was like 18, 19, in addition to like starting my career as a yoga teacher, I tried to get a job retail working for Anthropologie because I love their clothes. I like loved their, this is circa 2004 or something. Love. And I had like a shaved head and tattoos and piercings even then. So they would always just be like, no, do you want to work at Urban Outfitters? And I'd be like, no, I want to work here. Like, please, you can't work for us. You can only work for Urban Outfitters. Like,
oh my God. Know your role in the ball, Bess.
That's just like everything you need to know about me, though, is that like I have been showing up with like a giant lip piercing and being like, no, but Anthropologie is my aesthetic.
Like, honest, guys.
My whole life. Yeah. Oh, hey, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Sorry that YouTube failed you. This was a surprise live. Don't worry about it. It's going to be available for you to watch.
Yeah.
It's a little mini-sode coming through. And I'd love to hear from folks if you like the idea of episodes being live more often, kind of during the day, as opposed to pre-recorded. It's not very different for us. But yeah.
Yeah, you get one take one way or the other.
Right.
Most times. These days.
We've gotten better at checking our sound before we record. So we have been recording fewer episodes multiple times.
Fewer retakes. So when we were planning this, we wanted to talk a little bit about Raglans, but I got like no sleep last night and I forget what we wanted to say about them.
I don't know. I don't know either. I mean, I will say that, like I said in the beginning, I am really excited about top down seamless Raglans right now, and I'm going to be playing with that more in the fall. I think you've got more Raglans coming too. So I feel like one of the things that draws so many of us to them is that they are really versatile. I'm really coming around to, as an upper arm adjustment girly, how Raglans make it easier for me to change that upper arm circumference with fewer repercussions or fewer things to figure out, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was having a conversation with a knitter. I do these one-on-one calls where people bring some of their fit concerns, and I've done a couple over the last few days. And like, you know, we were talking about how this knitter could benefit from a broad back adjustment, and how to do that, they could just slip in a few extra increases. Right. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just circle the rows where you want to make it, and then make that, just slip them in there, just stack them on in. Or you know, they're just all different sorts of ways that you can modify a raglan once you understand how it fits and sits on the body, to make it your own. You know, like you said, you can just slip in those increases for the sleeves. You can work them out. Sometimes in our Slack group, we see knitters who have a lot of space in their sleeve, who want to fudge that out. It's really easy to do that in a raglan. You just, some of those rows where you're supposed to work them, you just don't, right? So
yeah.
So they are a really modifiable type of garment.
Yeah. And I think the way that the seams lay, you know, sort of diagonally from the underarm to the inner neck point, allows your shoulder to be like, it just allows less error in the shoulder and the arm side.
Yes.
Really good fit in that area is more difficult and complex, I think, for folks to write in like a set and sleeve garment. I'm really happy with the way the One Wild Design set and sleeve garments turn out, but it did take some, it took more education, I think, to learn about how to really custom fit a set and sleeve. And now, even though they were more natural for me, now I've kind of changed my mind, and I think raglans are easier. It's easier to have the fit right. You can still go wrong, but I think it's a little easier to get it right.
You know, the way I think of it is the set and sleeve is the most modifiable because you can tweak one measurement at a time. So once you understand fitting and you want to make those adjustments, it's easiest to make them in a set and sleeve. But a raglan is the most forgiving fit without modification. Because of that diagonal, it is designed to let your arm move freely and to let fabric kind of go where it needs to go. But it's always going to be more casual and less fitted than a set and sleeve. So they just accomplish different things, right? Y'all have to tell us in the comments or in the chat what your thoughts are.
Yeah. And the aesthetic is different at the end of the day.
Right.
Although we would sometimes describe raglans as sporty, I think that like a piece like Marie is a good example of how raglans can also be really elegant. But the aesthetic is just a little different, just like a drop shoulder is just a bit different. And if you really want one, then you probably wouldn't be happy with the other.
Right. You didn't talk about the cutest detail on Marie, though.
The button. I also used to hate buttons, and now I'm like really into buttons on my knits. But yeah, so this was something that like Jen always brings so much to my designs and vice versa, I assume. But we were talking about this wrap sweater, and I have not had a ton of issue with tying wraps in the back, except that it is a little uncomfortable, right? But there are also a lot of people that do have issues with like tying the wrap in the back and it comes undone, or even if like your shoulders are stiffer, it might not be as comfortable. Anyway, so I created Marie to lay seamlessly with a little button on one end and a little buttonhole on the other. And what you do when you get down to the hem, because it's knit top down, actually the button is applied in the neck edging. So you finish the whole thing and block it so that you can try it on. And then you place markers to place exactly where you want your button and your buttonhole in the back so that you can wrap it. I'm not going to be able to button it right now. I also didn't sleep last night. I can only button something behind my back if I look a little funky right now. I think I'd have to like, so it is really easy to button and unbutton, and it makes it so that you have a seamless lay. So I've seen, you know, I tried this and experimented on my own, but the execution has been really well done by all of my UX knitters. And I think it works really nicely. I think it just makes it a more wearable wrap that you don't have to worry about what's happening in the back, and you don't have to have like some knot annoying you. You don't feel like anything's there at all. So yeah. Jen, thank you, Jen, for being like, I hate a tie in the back. You should do a button.
I do hate it. It's just so bulky.
It is. It is. It just makes it harder to live your life. And we're all about actually being able to live your life.
I don't know if I could bring myself to tie my knits either.
I mean, it definitely isn't good for them. I'll tie this loosely in the front, but it's just a single loose tie to keep it, keep it closed. But I wouldn't tie it tight.
Yeah, you wouldn't knot it, right?
Right. I mean, it's like tucking your knit into your pants. Like, ugh. Right. I mean, I will do that more than I would want to knot something because.
Yeah, same.
It just feels more practical, but even still, really depends on the yarn. I work with a lot of soft yarns that are not going to hold up well to things like knotting and tucking.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have turned me into a silk girl. Like, I'm just like, why would I knit in silk when I could just wear silk year round? So it's really funny to see like where, where we're both being influenced by each other. I was thinking the other day as I was like looking for a size zero needle for something to swatch, I was like, do I have a size zero needle? And I was like thinking about that, like the trending, like I'm friends with Elizabeth Margaret. Of course I have a size zero circular needle.
I was just going to say, you know, I have size zero circular needles. Multiple
I was like,
ones.
Man, there's no way I have this. And I was like, Carol, I made the Carol bralette. I do have a size zero circular needle.
You know, both you're welcome and I'm sorry to everyone who knits the Carol bralette. I love that design so much, but that is a fine gauge. But that's what makes it work. It's just, you know.
It's so beautiful, though. Every time I see it on someone, I'm like, this is the one. This is the one.
I want another one.
Did your cotton one turn out?
Great. There's a whole blog on it.
Oh, that's right. It was pink, right?
It's like a burgundy. We'll have to port that blog over. It's not on One Wild yet, so it doesn't exist anywhere right now. But
the internet.
I have it. Yeah, I have it secretly. It turned out great. It wears really great. The main thing with that one is that I used a 3-inch elastic for the band, for the underband, which I would like. However, the 3-inch elastic does not sit in place. It gets like folded over and stuff. So
yeah.
I would do it again, but I would whip stitch the edges of the elastic into place before I knit the band around it. You know, like I would
listen to whip stitch whip them stitch. At the top. You're so and the fancy. Bottom.
I know. You act like it's you like know I can sew my own wardrobe already.
You're ready.
So that the elastic would stay in place. And then I think I would love it, or I would re-knit it with like not a giant elastic. So
Yeah.
I think the main problem is the giant elastic, and the cotton probably allows the elastic to move around a bit more because it's not as grippy as the wool. Yeah. So, yeah. But besides that, I have worn the cotton one lots of times and it's still doing its job for me better than my store-bought bralettes, which I also keep wearing long past the time that they've given up.
I feel that.
Yeah.
So. The only other thing I think we should talk about with these patterns is that we've used two different approaches to creating bust darts. And I know that we talk about bust darts a lot. Bust darts is kind of like our center of our universe.
It's our jam.
Yeah. So when I was teaching last week, I did teach a lot on bust darts, and I've gotten a couple questions on bust darts that I think are really interesting. So quick overview, I've used horizontal bust darts to create more length in the front only. And you chose to do vertical bust darts. So can you tell us real quick what those are and why you chose them for this design?
Sure thing. Yeah. Thanks. I forgot that these even have vertical bust darts because of sleep deprivation. So usually in the knitting world, when we were talking about bust darts, 9 times out of 10, people are talking about horizontal bust darts, which is short row shaping and adds length to the front only. And in most cases, I would even say in like 10 out of 10 cases, right, people benefit from that. There are some folks that would need either a combination of both vertical and horizontal bust darts always, or who really benefit from vertical bust darts. However, right, people who need horizontal bust darts, there's going to be a big overlap in the middle where vertical bust darts could accommodate people in the same way. Now, the difference is that vertical bust darts add width to the front only, whereas horizontal bust darts add length. So if you have a wider bust, particularly, not necessarily larger measurement, but if your breasts are set wider on your chest, vertical bust darts can be a really beneficial thing. That's me. And I can do horizontal bust darts also. They still benefit me. But sometimes the like pulling at the underarm is not alleviated as much. And when there's extra width, then that obviously does give me a little extra space at the underarm where my full bust measurement is creating some tension. So vertical bust darts in a top-down garment, you're going to increase before you reach the bust apex, and then you're going to decrease after the bust apex. And you can, the garment is written with those decreases done in kind of a princess seam. So the increases and the decreases are done in line with your bust, in line with the center of your chest or sort of third way in. And the reason I chose to do it this way in this wrap garment is because working the short rows at the same time that you're working increases along this wrap shape would just make for really confusing instructions, honestly.
Yeah.
It would be a lot harder to write. Not that vertical bust darts are easy to write, because there is still, you know, they're still broken out into separate sections with pretty detailed instructions, because we're going through row by row and adding increases and adding decreases. But in this case, it made more sense to just give you those rows and give you those instructions, as opposed to changing the lengths, which would have to change the rate of shaping along the interior of the wrap. You can still do it that way. If you want to add length, you can just space out some of the rows where it's starting to go like 2 stitches at a time increase, make them 1 stitch at a time so you can add more rows in anywhere you like. However, it's just going to be a little harder to do, and it may change the overall appearance of the front neckline in a way that the vertical bust darts wouldn't.
Yeah. So anytime we have a cardigan and we're working those horizontal bust rows, we're adding rows to the center front only. And so to offer a pattern that has multiple cup sizes, in order to do that, you would have had to have rewritten the entire front shaping to distribute those increases along those new rows for each size. So it essentially would have transformed the pattern into five patterns, and also been kind of a messy experience for the knitter wading through all of that information to get to what they needed. And I think also in a garment like this where it is wrapping, it makes sense to have that width, right? So there are times when you describe two different body types that might benefit from these vertical bustards, right? People who have a wider set breasts can benefit from it. And it's also a technique that we might see when you have a big lace repeat or a big color work repeat, right? So when we work horizontal bustards, we can only do those in the increments of whatever the stitch pattern is. So maybe it's a really large lace repeat or color work chart or other motif, or maybe it's an odd, right? So we have to be able to make those short rows in pairs. So if you can't double it and get to a number that is divisible by two, you can't really work those short rows and continue in pattern. So there are times when we would see that. And, you know, one question that I've been asked in the last week is, you know, instead of decreasing those out at the neckline, they're working bottom up, right? And so they added stitches to come to the full bust. And they're like, you know, instead of working those out, can I at the neckline or the underarm, can I just work them out directly above? And that's really what you've done with this pattern. And it creates a beautiful shaping line. And when you say a princess seam, that's what we're talking about, is that line that kind of comes straight down the shoulder along the apex and drops towards the floor. So making all the shaping on that axis kind of preserves the shape of the neckline and the underarm in a way that's really lovely.
Yeah, like the princess seams are the lines in a corset. I feel like that's the easiest way to like think of them. And
vertical shaping.
Yeah, yeah, it's that vertical line, vertical seam down the front. So it does create an elegant shape. And I've used vertical bustards for myself before. For my body, they work really well. And I think for a lot of folks, you know, like I said, some folks need the length, but there are also some folks that need the width who add in vertical bustards to our patterns that have horizontal bustards. So this is one that starts with vertical bustards for you. And if you are someone that needs to add the length, you certainly can go in and add that modification too. But for, you know, for more mass use, for this to work the best for the most amount of people, vertical bustards made sense for this. And I'm excited to share them because if you've never worked them before, they're really simple and this will just hold your hand through that experience. But you'll see like, oh, I can really add this to any garment, just like a horizontal bustard.
Right. Right. Cool. All right. What's next? So a week from today, we'll have these patterns available.
We've got, well, this weekend, I've got a few spaces in my photo workshop, taking better photos of your knits. If anyone wants to jump in, I'd love to fill it. I have like three or four spots left. And we're going to be talking about photographing knits, mostly on your body, but we'll talk a little bit about flat lay photography too. Then what you're going to be in Portland soon.
Yeah. But before that, next month in February, y'all, like basically a month from now, the 19th, we are both going to be in the same city here in Pittsburgh. So we are working on putting something together with a little local shop that we are a big fan of. So go ahead and mark your calendars now for the evening of the 19th and we'll have more details for you soon.
Yeah. It's my first time in Pittsburgh, babies.
So we're gonna do some knitting together here in my hometown. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be really fun for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait. And yeah. And we're gonna get to see our besties at Source, our photography, to get ready for Rare Birds because we are thinking spring, and we can't wait. And I feel like these sweaters are going to layer really well with those pieces too. So
yeah. Finally, we both have a new UX call out for our final pieces for our spring collection. We have two tank tops. Yours is a textured ribbed beauty with two lengths, a tunic length and a tank length. And mine is a very, very basic silk tank for layering. And yeah, so those are out there. You can be looking in your inbox over the next day or two for those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine has gone out to our One Wild post already. And folks are joining. I'm going to be accepting people today and tomorrow from that list. And if I have sizes available still, then I may put it out on Instagram this weekend, but I may not. So if you really want to be in on our UX Knits, make sure that you are subscribed to our newsletter, The One Wild Post. You get lots of goodies there, but it's also where our UX calls go. They go to our coffee supporters first, and then they go to our newsletter. And so by the time that's all said and done, most of the common sizes are usually taken at that point. So we love having new folks join. And so if you're wondering how to get into our UXs, then it's really being on the One Wild post.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
That's a lot.
I do think that's everything.
No wonder we feel so busy.
We are busy, and we're going to have more announcements coming soon, which we're really excited about. And we want to hear what you're working on. What are you up to? Leave us some comments.
Yeah. And guys, what should we do this summer? It's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
It's going to be quiet on the pattern release front between April and August. What should we do together? Y'all tell us.
Yeah. Yeah. Is summertime a good time for you to do classes? Are you into doing an in-person event somewhere? What would fill you up in that season? Do you switch to a different craft? Let's do something together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, girls. Happy knitting.
Bye. Happy knitting.